Good morning. This is Precept Bible Study, and today we're going to study two chapters, chapter 4 and chapter 5, and our study is on the names of God, and it comes from K. Author's Lord, I Want to Know You. So bear with me today as I call on the Lord to lead me through His Holy Spirit to get these on for you. And I pray that each one will be able to understand more about the names of God and why that it's so important for us to know His names. So let us begin in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just pray at this time for Your Holy Spirit to lead, guide, and direct me and to touch each heart that is listening to Your Word, to Your truth, Father. I pray that as we study together Your names, that it will open our understanding, that we may truly know You more by knowing Your great names, Father. And I ask it now in the name of Jesus. So, first we're going to look at the name El Roi. That means the God who sees. And we're looking in the scripture in Genesis chapter 16. About Hagar, and this is where that it first begins, as in the scriptures of Hagar. And as we look at these verses, we want to ask some questions, and those questions first would be, whenever we are having turmoil and trials in our life, and we're going through a lot of things that are hard at that time to understand, we need to know where we need to run. You know, when we started this study, we learned at the very beginning that we have to run to Him, to God, who is a high tower. And He is the one that protects us of being our high tower. So as we look at this study today in Genesis chapter 16, we see this is the first time and the first place in Scripture where it tells us about El Roi, of God Almighty, the All-Sufficient One. So let's turn to Genesis in your Bible, chapter 16. And I'm going to read these verses quickly, and we're going to see what happens in the life of Abraham, at this time known as Abram. And when Abram was 99 years old, I'm reading the wrong one. That's chapter 17. Go to chapter 16. Now, Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, "See now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go in to my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her." And Abram heeded the voice of Sarah. And then Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. And after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. So he went in to Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. And then Sarai said to Abram, "My wrong be upon you. I gave my maid into your embrace. And when she saw that she had conceived, I became despised in her eyes. And the Lord judge between you and me." So Abram said to Sarah, "Indeed, your maid is in your hand. Do to her as you please." And when Sarai dealt harshly with her, she fled from her presence. Now the angel of the Lord found her in a spring of water in the wilderness by the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, Sarah's maid, where have you come from and where are you going?" And she said, "I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress Sarai." And the angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand." And then the angel of the Lord said to her, "I will multiply your descendants exceedingly, so that they shall not be counted for multitude." And the angel of the Lord said to her, "Behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction. He shall be a wild man. His hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren." And then she called the name of the Lord, who spoke to her, "You are the God who sees." So here we are. We're seeing the first time in the scripture, the God who sees, El Roy. "For she said, have I here seen him who sees me?" Therefore, the well was called Beer Lahai-Roi. Observe, it is between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram named his son, whom Hagar bore, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram. Now let's look at these verses and see, we need to ask some questions. So I'm going to quickly ask some questions, and then I will answer these questions according to the scripture. First of all, what do we see about Hagar? First, we learn that she is Sarai's servant, and that Sarai, because she could not bear child for Abram, wanted Abram to take her maid, Sarai, and go into her. And then we also saw that after Sarai's maid bore a son, that she was despised by Sarai because she bore Abram a son. And then she chose, or she didn't really choose to leave, but Sarah goes into Abram, and now she has become jealous, and she doesn't even want her around. So she speaks to Abram, and Abram tells her to deal with the maid. Whose idea then was it that Abram and Hagar have relation? We know that it was Sarah's idea because she couldn't bear Abram a child. So do you think that Hagar had much a choice in making the decision? No, she didn't. Why didn't she? Because she was a slave, and the slaves had to do what they were told to do. So what provoked Sarah, and how did she respond? Well, first we see that because Hagar could have a child and Sarah couldn't, that provoked Sarah. And so how did she respond to it? She wanted her to be sent away, didn't she? So Hagar was totally innocent. And why was she innocent? Because it was not in her power in the very beginning to make that decision. So in each of our lives, as we look at different things that happen, that we may be mistreated, then do we see some of the things maybe in the past or maybe that's happening in the present that would relate to Hagar's situation? So let's go on. Another question, what were God's instructions to Hagar? God told her to return to her mistress and to submit herself to her authority, that he was going to take this child that she was going to bear, named Ishmael. And he says, because I have heard your affliction, then he will be a wild man, and his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. So, in looking at this story that is written in God's Word, that is truth, we see that in our lives that we may be mistreated by someone that we trusted, and it's hard to be reconciled whenever you're mistreated by someone that you trust. So you try maybe to put it out of your mind, but it keeps coming back, doesn't it? Satan wants to remind us that we will do what? That we'll be bitter about it, isn't it? So how then can we in our lives be healed? And we know where it begins by reading the scripture, because whenever the angel of the Lord approached Hagar, we saw that he was God himself that sees. He was saying that I am El Roi, the God who sees. God's always awake. He never sleeps or never slumbers. Let's read Psalms 139, verses 7 through 12. Where can I go from thy spirit? Or where can I flee from thy presence? If I ascend to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there thy hand will lead me, and thy right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overcome me, and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not night to thee, and the night is as bright as a day. Darkness and light are alike. to thee. So the psalmist, who is David, writing this Psalm 139, verses 7, 12, is saying that God sees all, day and night, no matter where it takes place. And he saw what happened to Hagar. And he sees the sins that are committed against us today. And so, in seeing that God sees all, then we know that he is sovereign and he permits these things to happen. And it's to be used for good. In Psalms 9, verse 10, you must know him, believe him, and put your trust in his name, for he does not forsake those who seek him. So, in what we have read and studied, can you see the benefit of knowing his name, El Roi? El Roi. He sees, maybe we can't, but he can. So where are we to run in time of troubles? We're to run to El Roi, the God who sees, because he is sovereign. Now the memory verse for this scripture, for this study, is Proverbs 15:3. The eyes of the Lord, El Roi, are in every place, watching the evil and the good. Now let's go into chapter 5 and see another name about the name of God. What is so powerful about this name? This name that we're studying in chapter 5 is El Shaddai, and it means the all-sufficient one. He is God Almighty. So we're going to go through this, and we're going to look at some more scriptures, looking first in Genesis 17, verses 1 through 3. Genesis 17, 1 through 3. Whenever you see God Almighty in the Old Testament, you see El Shaddai. So, as we look at these verses, we'll see how that Abraham first knew God as El Shaddai, and he fell down on his face. Reading now Genesis 17, 1 through 3. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God, El Shaddai. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him. So, when we realize and recognize, as Abram did, that God is El Shaddai, that he is the all-sufficient one, Almighty. Almighty is he supplies everything. He is all-sufficient for everything. So we need to ask ourselves, have we experienced him as our El Shaddai? So let's look at these verses continuing in Genesis. We read the first three verses, and now we want to see how God revealed him as El Shaddai to Abram going forward in verses 4 through 8 in chapter 17 of Genesis. As for me, behold, my covenant is with you. This is God speaking to Abram. And you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations, and I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you, and I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an exceedingly possession, and I will be their God. So, we know that in the very beginning, in chapter 12, that God preached the gospel to Abraham, or at that time, Abram, when he was 75, and he was 99 years old, and Sarah was 89, and still they didn't have any children. But God had promised them a son, a child of their own. So, and without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead. This is in Romans 4:19. Romans 4:19. Since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Here, all these years, from the time that God first spoke to Abram and told him that he was going to give him a son and he would be blessed and all generations would be blessed through his seed, not seeds, but through his seed, which actually referred to Christ, because the seed came, all the blessings from Christ, because of Christ, excuse me, death, burial, and resurrection. So now here he is, an old man, and according to nature, he would not be able to produce what was necessary to form a child. And Sarah was also old. He was 99 and she was 89. And it was like she would be dried up her body, and neither one of them. So what do we see here? What was the reason for this? Why did God wait until they were so old that they were past the time of producing? God wanted to show them and the world that this miracle had to come from God. There was no way that Sarah and Abraham, he had changed their names, could possibly produce a child. And it shows us today that it was only by God's mercy and grace that this child, Isaac, was born, not by their own power, even though they had tried to go ahead of God and use a Hagar to produce a child. But God had told Abram that this child would come from his loins, and it would be the one that would produce life and bless all generations through his son, Isaac. Now, looking at the word El, E-L, I just want to help us to see the meaning, the full meaning, as we study these names. El is a derivative of Elim and Elohim and Eloah. We've already studied about Elohim and about Elyon, and we're studying today about El Shaddai. So we learned earlier that El stands for might or power. Even when it's not used for God, it is translated might and power. So the translation of Shaddai, as we've already learned, is all-sufficient one. So, as we're looking forth, we're going to see how that El Shaddai, the pourer forth, the one who pours himself out for all mankind, for all creatures, that gives lifeblood, who sheds his spirit, and he says, "Come unto me and drink." And he opens, he says, "Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it." And who thus, by sacrifice of himself, gives himself and his very name to those who will receive him, that thus his perfect will may accomplish, be accomplished in them. So we know that the sacrament of the body and blood of Christ is a witness of God himself to us. It's a witness of his giving. It's not God's weakness. It's the weakness of this giving himself. So only by the virtue of God indwelling can we be filled with his purpose and the Almighty in us. So the name El Shaddai, or Almighty, proclaims, and Abram, when this name Almighty was first revealed to him, Abram had long been the heir of promise, and he knew not Jehovah, but the Lord had promised to bless him and to give him an inheritance and a seed which should be as the dust of the earth for multitude. So, looking now at Abraham, when God adds the letter H-E, the chief letter of his own name, Jehovah, then we can see that giving to the elect, those that are chosen, something of his own name, for the name denotes his nature. And so by the communication of himself and his outbreath of spirit, it molds us, the creature, to his own pleasure, excuse me, that he may be a channel of blessing to many others. So, Abram yielded himself to God Almighty in everything. First of all, through the act of circumcision. That was a self-judgment and a perfect self-surrender that testified that his hope was not in the flesh or in the energies of the flesh, but it was only in the blessed giver, God himself, that could bring forth fruit. And the giving up and sacrifice of the much beloved Son who had so long been waited for, of whom it had been said, "In Isaac shall thy seed be called," that thus in the other renunciation of himself and of his own will, the power of Almighty God, El Shaddai, might be brought in, and the elect in his weakness be made strong. These that are chosen, the elect, might be made strong, and giving up of all be filled with the fullness of God. So this is the lesson that Abram learned from the revelation of the name El Shaddai. So, if we can learn from this lesson, then we too will know God as Almighty, that fulfills his purpose in us. So, looking now, at some more scripture, if you'll just write this down, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 9 and 10. My grace, this is Paul, and he says that God's grace, he said to me, God said to Paul, whenever Paul had this thorn in the flesh, and he asked God to remove this thorn, God said to him, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecution, with difficulty, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Now that was 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. So, as God spoke to Abraham thousands of years ago, then he speaks the same words to you and me, that I am God Almighty, El Shaddai, walk before me and be blameless. And that's Genesis 17:1. Now, at the end of this, we have another memory verse, and it is exactly what I just read. Genesis 17:1. Now when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am God Almighty, El Shaddai. Walk before me and be blameless." So we have learned in this study, in this fifth chapter, the name El Shaddai as the all-sufficient one, because he is God Almighty. So let us close this study in chapter 5 of the names of God. Father, if we can just open our eyes and our hearts and through your word that was written down by the Holy Spirit, that you led these men to write it down for us today. If we can just open up our eyes and we ask you, Father, to help us to see your greatness in your name, El Shaddai and El Roi, as we've studied today, to understand that you are all sufficient for everything in our lives, no matter what we may be going through, not just in the joys that you bring, but in all the suffering and all the pain and all the temptation and all the disappointments. Oh, Father, if we can only see that you're the all-sufficient one and you're the one that we're to run to because you are God, the only God. Father, do help us to truly learn your names and why that we need to know your names, Father, that we will know you. And I ask it in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.